Pass one up top, and Parker read it perfectly. Stole it, brings it up the floor, launches one over to Green, who buries a wing right three. That's two threes assisted by Parker. Going into Forbes, steps right, shoots the three at the horn, and he banked it in. Counted for Brent Forbes to end the first period. A winning quarter to start this road game for the Spurs. Aldridge turns off the left side of the lane, and a running right hook is good. And LaMarcus Aldridge in the paint, hard and heavy here in the third. Green's bad pass taken away by James, sends it up to Korver. And then he turns it over with a cross-court pass stolen by Murray. Two on two the other end. Gay streaks to the rim and athletically catches and lays it in. James pauses, now speeds up. Down the lane, changed hands, missed it with the left. Tried to rebound and score again. It's knocked loose. Clarkson grabs it. He stuffed at the rim on a right-hand scoop shot attempt. Murray up the floor in transition. Through Mills to Anderson. Layup good.
I think the momentum, you know, kind of hurt us when, you know, they got away with an offensive foul pushing it back on me. You know, at the end of the third quarter, Danny Green hits a three. I come down and I turn the ball over, and Forbes hits a shot to put him up two to go in the fourth. You know, that's a five-point swing, you know, us having a three-point lead. But we still down two, and, you know, we just couldn't get a bucket to start the fourth. Turned the ball over a couple times, and, you know, that's when the momentum kind of switched.
I feel like I really hit the ball well, and I missed the golf ball in the correct spots. I had control of my ball. That's something I'm very proud of. And each and every time I've come out to tournaments, I'm getting the feel of the round faster. The more I play tournament golf, the better I'll get at it.
I don't think it's going to be a widespread decimation of rosters and head coaches. I do not think that. I think it will happen more slowly if there are other things involved. You might have gotten a little bit of a hint from the initial reports in the Yahoo Sports story. I think that's pretty instructive as to what we might see when the tournament starts. The amateurism rules aren't really real, sort of a made-up thing over workman's comp and all of that kind of stuff. And if we just sort of acknowledge that and then let this function as we would let other big business function, or that we would let other students at universities who have special talents function, that maybe we'd be better off.
Isn't it amazing that the basketball players whose names were mentioned played this weekend and were cleared by their own compliance at their schools in the blink of an eye? Isn't it amazing how quickly that all happened? And for Michigan State, isn't it amazing and or disgusting the fact of how quickly compliance cleared guys to play, and you're still dealing with sexual assault going on that campus and have been looked at for years and years and years, and we don't have answers there?
The NCAA is one of the worst organizations, maybe the worst organization in sports. They certainly don't care about the athletes, and they're going to act now like they're just appalled by all these things going on in college basketball. Please, it's ridiculous. And then it's all coming down on coaches who they're laying the game as it's been laid out for them, and they all know what it is, and they have choices to make too. I would say coaches aren't blameless, but I think it starts higher than that.
Well, Miles was sad because he knew nothing about it. I mean, if you read the situation that happened back when he was in high school, you know, he just was bummed out, but he handled it like a man. He handled it better than I did. You know, guys, I'll answer a question or two, but I just had a chance to win a championship, and I'm not going to answer many questions. I was not involved in this thing at all. This was our compliance people in the NCAA, and I thought they ruled quickly. I'm Miles Bridges.
I do love, though, that March Madness, if I do tell you right now, vacated title. Everyone's playing for a vacated title. All the coaches are fired. You're still watched the same way. That is the power of your sport. That's the scam Mark Emmert's running.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Indeed, here we are for a Monday edition of the Extravaganza. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Jim Kushlin is who you hear right now behind the microphone. Remember, Bob's been dealing with that cold, didn't sound too great. Yeah, I talked to him earlier. He has to take another extended stay on the broadcaster's disabled list right now. Still battling over that cold. And, well, quite frankly, when this business like it is relies on your voice, when you sound like that, you got to take a day. Trust me, Bob France's voice is not worthy of air quality today. So I'm happy to fill in for the next 2 hours here on this Monday edition of the Extravaganza. So much random stuff to go over today. You heard a bunch of it, especially at the end in that montage. We're definitely going to get to more of that. That whole college basketball scandal story that seems to have its tentacles in every program of note, it seems. We got the Yahoo report we talked a lot about on Friday. More things have happened in that certain players that are playing right now are getting cleared to still play, and that's driving other people nuts. Sparty is involved in that. That's why you heard Tom Izzo, head coach of the Spartans, near the end of that. And, you know, he's right. On the one hand, he doesn't want to answer us. They cleared him. Fine. You know, whatever. I'd like to be talking about a championship. The championship he's referring to is, of course, the first Big Ten regular season title in a little while, longer than you'd think. For Michigan State, the Big Ten tournament set. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, too, by the way. We got to have some positive things here to go over. But this little scandal won't go away. There are a lot of people out there, and when they say that they're half joking but half serious, like you heard Dan Levitard from earlier today at the very end there, because he's right. If somehow a whole bunch of players get deemed ineligible for the tournament and coaches have to end up being fired, and again, partially serious when saying this, even though it's said in joking, and I kind of am on that line too, you got a whole bunch of teams that might be playing for what will later amount to a vacated title, but he's right. We're still going to watch, and we're still going to have all our brackets ready. It just, what a messed up time right now for, you know, for college basketball. We're going to get more into it, especially Michigan State specifics on it. 410, Kyle Austin will return to the program today. He is the Michigan State writer for MLive.com. And since Miles Bridges, one of the players specifically named in this FBI investigation, of which we got the document dump, if you will, on that back on Friday, and we spent a great deal of time here on this show talking about that, going to get a little more specific in Miles, that story, will he remain eligible? Is what we heard before Michigan State's game yesterday, is that the end-all be-all of this, at least as far as Miles Bridges is concerned? What are the ramifications? And then, oh, by the way, yeah, let's turn around and have some positive in his thoughts on the Big Ten tournament coming up as well. More college basketball in hour number two. It is Monday, and that means coming up at about 4:40, our weekly spot with the great voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Buckeyes are the number two seed in that Big Ten tournament. And they will start on Friday, double bye to the quarterfinals. We'll talk about all that and just in general how good of a season this really was for the Ohio State Buckeyes, with plenty still left to do, a Big Ten tournament and then an NCAA tournament after that. So Kyle Austin, MLive.com at 410. Paul Keels, voice of the Buckeyes, at 440. Your phone calls here in hour number one at 866-240-1065. And I got fun prizes, by the by, to give away today, you know, as well. So listen and stay tuned for that. A lot of hockey involved, taking some walleye, some Bowling Green hockey, because their WCHA hockey college playoffs begin coming up on Friday. We're going to have some of those games. Speaking of games we're going to have, being that it's the Big Ten tournament coming up this week, your programming update. We technically don't know some of the opponents yet, but we do know this. Michigan is the 5 seed. They get a bye to the second round, which is Thursday afternoon. They will play a 2 o'clock coverage time, 2:30 tip, over on our sister station, 98.3 Nash Icon, as they are your local home here in the area for the Michigan Wolverines. They will take on the Iowa-Illinois winner. Buckeyes are the number 2 seed. They get the double bye to the quarters. Friday evening, they'll get the Penn State-Northwestern winner, 6 o'clock the coverage time. That's over at Talk Radio 100.7 this time, because we got sectional final high school basketball playoff action coming up on Friday. And those Michigan State Spartans, they will start Friday afternoon in that as the 1 seed in those quarterfinals. They'll get the Wisconsin-Maryland winner. We're going to have that one, by the way, for you, courtesy of Compass Media Network, at 11:45 a.m. for the noon tip over on Talk Radio 100.7. 866-240-1065. You know, those are the numbers to join us. As usual with me, folks, anything and everything, always fair game. But we're going to talk some basketball things, NBA, and then some of this college basketball stuff. More on it, of course, with Kyle Austin and Paul Keels next hour. And you also heard from Tiger Woods in the montage there. People are now starting to ask that question again. You know, can he win or a major? Probably not. Can he win something this year? I'm leaning a little more towards yes on that one now, as he had a pretty decent, all things considered for him, 4 rounds of golf this past weekend. And you heard him there. He's saying, you know, he feel better the more and more I'm out there. So any thoughts on that? Are we in the beginning stages of Tiger being back? Who knows? Seemingly has been the answer to that question for quite some time now. 866-240 866-240-1065. Anything, everything, fair game. With me at 866-240-1065. We do have open phones here in this first hour of the extravaganza here on this Monday. All right, wanted to think of some of these NBA things before we really get into this all this college basketball stuff. Although I see a couple on the line. So, you know what, before I get into the NBA, let's go there. Let's go to line one. Hi, you're on the extravaganza on the ticket. Who's this?
Terry in Sylvania.
What's going on, Terry? What's on your mind today?
Oh, I just want to talk about the scandal a little bit.
Please, go right ahead.
Okay, first of all, you know when Louisville won it and they got to give up their title, you know who they played in the finals?
That was Michigan, yep.
Yep, okay. And I got to give credit. Thad Matta and probably the current coach at Ohio State have
Chris Ullman,
have run a clean program. And I'm proud of the way Beilein runs his program. And hopefully they can't dig up any skeletons on it. But a lot of these people who they thought were cleaner than the wind-driven snow have issues. So that's all I have to say.
No doubt about it. They do have issues. Before you go, Terry, would it surprise, given the scope of this thing that we've all been trying to dissect since Friday, and right now until further evidence or anything like that comes out, I have to agree with you. I'm glad that Mata / Holtman and Beilein have run their programs clean. But the flip side of that is, given the scope of this thing, would it surprise you if down the line we do hear something about that? Because twistedly, no, it wouldn't, because this seems so darn pervasive.
Yes, I think this thing is so deep. Even Duke, who is supposed to be one of the most sanitized, and now that Carter, and I know why they would pay him. Carter can play, flat play, but there's North Carolina. Roy Williams has been running a messy program. How much stuff has he had? Great tampering and all that stuff. North Carolina, Roy Williams survives this. He has got win, baby, as they say.
Yeah, as Al Davis used to say, yep.
Just win, baby, and we'll just turn our heads on what the heck's going on.
That's why I had to include that clip from Dan Lebatard from earlier today. I was cruising around, coming here to the station and everything, get my stuff together. And I heard him say that. I'm like, you're so right. If it turns out a whole bunch of people, get made ineligible, which as of right now is not happening, coaches end up getting fired, whole bunch of teams play for what might end up being a vacated title. He's sadly right. We're still going to have our I know I will. We're still going to have our brackets, and we're still going to watch this thing in a month.
Hey, Jim, one question.
Yes.
They were talking on the sports show. I think it was at night. I was getting some gas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about breaking away from the NCAA, and I have five Big 12 conferences. The big,
Power Five conference type of conferences.
Yeah, Power Five. But the Big East isn't in it. Isn't that the one with all the good powerhouse schools like Xavier, Butler?
They would have to adjust that. In my humble opinion, if you've ever heard me talk on this type of thing, your power structure, if you will, we know in football there's the five main power conferences, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and then the five mid-majors, of which the Mid-American Conference is part of it. To me, in college basketball, even though one of them I'm about to say is very, very down this year, there are actually eight. The five football, plus Big East, plus American, and I give some props to the Atlantic 10. That's just me. So you're right. If they were to do that, they have to find a way to at least include the current Big East basketball in that, too.
That's a heck of a conference. Okay. Hey, Jim, one question.
Yes.
You know who would get shafted if they ever did that? Gonzaga.
Yeah. If they were to do something like that, Gonzaga would have to get themselves to the Pac-12, which I doubt, or at least find a way to the Mountain West.
Oh, come on.
But
I don't think they would do that.
They're
in the top 20 programs in the country.
Yep. But their overall conference is still – let's put it this way. If you removed Gonzaga from that West Coast Conference today, that would be a small one-bid league yet again. It is only considered a mid-major because Gonzaga's been there for so long doing what they're doing. It's why St. Mary's has now been a more or less consistently ranked type of team. But you take at least Gonzaga out of there, that's a one-bid league that's worse off than the MAC again.
But that's why Mark Few schedules out of conference.
Yes,
cup,
and he,
early
yes, he does
for the tournament. Okay, we'll talk to you later, Jim.
All right, thanks for the call. 866-240-1065. You want to share your thoughts on anything and everything the way Terry just did, don't hesitate to dial those numbers because we're not going to have much time coming up later in the 4 o'clock hour. As we're going to talk a lot of the college basketball and a lot of this scandal, especially in the 410 segment, Kyle Austin of MLive.com, he's the Michigan State writer over there. We're going to talk about what happened, you know, yesterday with Miles Bridges. He got cleared despite his name coming up in that whole scandal that seems to be rocking college basketball, while at the same time not really surprising us all that much. I think the only thing that's really surprising is, or at least I'm speaking at least for just me, the thing that's surprising all of us is just the scope of it. You know, this notion that these kind of things go on are something deep down a lot of us knew. You know, deep down we know, you know, how this works. If I'm not mistaken, back on Friday when we were talking about this, Bob referenced the Blue Chips movie, the one with Shaq and all that from the mid-90s. And that's how it's playing out. That's how this thing is actually playing out. So we like to pretend, I think, sometimes that these things aren't going on. But deep down, we darn well know that it's going on. This is just proving to us how vast it really is, that it isn't just the occasional bad apple here or shady guy here or something. That it's got its tentacles, if you will, into any program of note. I mean, honestly, the only types of programs who I think, you know, aren't really involved in this kind of thing are, you know, teams in like small one bid leagues, you know, things like, you know, teams from the SWAC or the Big West or, you know, insert small conference here. That's about it. If you have any semblance of any recognition as far as college basketball is concerned, and or you are a part of a power conference, which, as I just reiterated to Terry, for me in basketball, unlike football where it's 5, in basketball to me it's 8, the 5 football plus American, Big East, and Atlantic 10, it would not surprise me to someday learn. I don't think we're going to learn this, but I know it wouldn't surprise me if we found out there was something shady at literally every single program. Because we know how it works. And we know part of the reason, as we talked about when we talked about all this on Friday, is that the current disciplinary actions the NCAA takes against programs and coaches and players and such doesn't work. Or it sure as heck doesn't seem to work because all this continues to go on. Not a 6-month block of time goes by and we're not reading about something like this, even if it's just one individual school. This one just happens to be much more massive because of the names and numbers of the schools involved. But every 6 months, it feels like we're reading a story like this. I explained, and Bob's trying to talk me off the ledge. He's mostly done it, but I'm still kind of there because I personally am running out of solutions as to how to fix this. I feel like we're at a point in college basketball and probably college football for that matter, of course, too, where I'm kind of starting to believe they either have to ditch the amateurism concept altogether. Reese Davis was kind of explaining that in one of the other clips you heard there in the montage. Either just ditch the notion of amateurism altogether, find ways to make it as equitable as possible from your Ohio States and Texases all the way down to the, Boston U, Mass Lowell, Long Beach State. I'm trying to think, you know, who's at the top and who's at the bottom, and including the basketball side, too, and everybody in between. Find a way to, as equally as you can, to distribute caps and just ditch the whole notion of amateurism. Or if you're so hell-bent, college football and basketball, on keeping the amateurism notion alive, then clearly a completely reworked disciplinary system, how to handle these things when they do come up and violations are made, a completely new disciplinary system has to emerge. Because what they're doing now clearly ain't working. And we know it's not working. Because, my goodness, remember, this probe, this investigation, of which the FBI is involved, and regardless of what you think of them, depending on your part in the political spectrum these days, If you're still being investigated by the FBI, that means something. And as such, there's a lot of trouble that's going down and going to happen further in the future. Will some of these players be made ineligible for the tournament and you're going to have, like, I don't know, 5, 10, a dozen programs that are essentially on probation starting as soon as this tournament ends because it's too late in the game to just scratch you all together? For this season anyway? Meaning, as Dan Levitard said in that last clip of the montage, they're all going to be playing for a vacated title? But we will still watch. That's why I had to play that clip, because he's right. We will still watch. I'll have my brackets. Same as always. The NCAA tournament is one of the greatest sporting events on the entire calendar year, and we all know it, and we all love it. But if you really want to hang on to the amateurism college sports, then clearly an entirely new system of discipline has to emerge. And first and foremost on that disciplinary system has to be hitting people in their wallets. Teams these days, the only way to get somebody to listen to you is if you're going to hit them in the wallet. Hitting them in the face with your fist doesn't even seem to work, but hitting them in the wallet does. So you find coaches. You find schools. Maybe even you find the players. Heck, all the ones that keep getting this money usually end up in the NBA, so they'll be able to pay off the fines later. Something. Because just taking down banners and punishing kids who just came to a school 3 years after whatever incident they're being punished for happened, meaning they had nothing to do with it, that's not working and it's not fair. I'd still like it to be something in the second category where the amateurism stays. Maybe everybody can get increased stipends with their scholarships. I don't know. But if you're going to keep the amateurism, then a whole new way of thinking for disciplining these types of situations has to happen. Otherwise, you might as well just ditch the amateurism. Stop pretending and truly make college basketball and college football what they always have been. The minor leagues of the National Football League and the National Basketball Association. 866-240-1065. So much more on that, obviously, and much more specifically on the Michigan State angle in all this. Kyle Austin, MLive.com, will join us at 410. And then hopefully, mostly on the court talk, we're going to talk with Kyle on his thoughts of the Big Ten tournament coming up this week, which, of course, yeah, it's this week, along with a couple small conferences like the Atlantic Sun and the Big South, because, of course, the Big Ten tournament this year is at the Garden in New York, which means you have to hold it a week early, because for next week, the Big East has that time blocked off. Yeah, and you can't have two, you know, at the exact same time. So, it is what it is. 866-240-1065. But there's lots of other things I want to get to. Some NBA thoughts. Tiger Woods actually played 4 rounds. He feels like he's doing better. We shall obviously see. And then more phone calls coming up here in this next segment. But first and foremost, let's get wild.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket presents The Wild Stat of the Day, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports.
Your Buffalo Wild Wings Wild Stat of the Day. Yesterday in their win in Denver, the Houston Rockets again made at least 15 three-pointers in the game, 15 of 35 to be exact. That's the 35th game this season. The Rockets have made at least 15 threes, most in the NBA by a wide margin. The Cavs are second in that category with just 15. That means the Warriors are even less than that. Think about that for a second. Stew on that one. It's also the second most in NBA history for a season, behind last year's Rockets, who had 41 such games. And with enough left of the season, I'm pretty sure this year's Rockets will beat that mark. And that's your Buffalo Wild Wings wild stat of the day. All right, quick timeout. Check of traffic, check of weather, local sports center update. More of your phone calls on this college basketball scandal, NBA. Hey, if you want to talk some happy things and make yourself feel warm, you know, we got spring training games now going on. Those started back on Friday in the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League, respectively. Anything and everything, always fair game when I'm behind the microphone. And utilize that now at 866-240-1065 because we are guest heavy in hour number two. Kyle Austin of MLive.com at 410. And then Mr. Paul Keels, voice of the Buckeyes, coming up at 440. And hey, I mentioned I have a bunch of fun hockey-type tickets, whole stacks in that were shuffled my way earlier today. I'm going to give you a chance to win some of those right now. I got a pair of tickets to see the Walleye at Huntington Center this Friday night, 7:15, the face-off time in downtown Toledo. They'll take on the South Carolina Stingrays. Caller number 5 at 866-240-1065. We will hook you up with a pair of Walleye tickets to this Friday night's game. More of your phone calls after this quick timeout on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
You heard Mr. Big Voice. Dial us up now. Anything and everything here on this Monday edition of the extravaganza at 866-240-1065. Jim Cushlin in for Bob France. Had to extend his stay on the broadcaster's DL for one more day. Trust me, I spoke to him earlier. Crackly, scratchy voice is not suitable for over the air today, and that makes sense here in a business where, you know, we kind of need our voices. So I'm happy to fill in. Mike Miller coming at you at 5 o'clock for a drive time. Then we got some coaches shows tonight. Bowling Green version on Talk Radio 1.7. Buckeye version here as the Buckeyes and the rest of the Big Ten, they get set for the Big Ten tournament. First round starts Wednesday. Michigan will start in the second round on Thursday. Buckeyes and Michigan State, for that matter, will start in the quarterfinals on Friday. Paul Keels, voice of the Buckeyes, will join us at 4:40 to break it all down and kind of look back at some of the more memorable things that we saw out of this Buckeye team this season. Again, a season where, I don't know how many times I could say it, but it really is this simple. I would have tipped my cap to them. This is the me from November, you know, as the season started, thinking, just tip your cap to the Buckeyes if they could be good enough again to make it to the NIT. Here they are, second seed in the Big Ten tournament. They're a lock, no matter what happens. Even if they lose that first game, they are a lock for the NCAA tournament. It's just a matter of seeding, and I've seen them seeded as high. A couple weeks ago, before they lost to Penn State again, I saw them seeded as high as number two seed, probably more like a 4 or 5. But still, again, for a team that's getting a new coach and for a team that was in transition after the Thad Mata era, I thought an NIT bid would be more than sufficient, and they're going to go way better than that. Kyle Austin then will join us at 4:10. He's the Michigan State writer for MLive.com. We got to unpack a lot of this from a specific, Michigan State angle. Miles Bridges, one of the names specifically mentioned in that Yahoo article / FBI investigation of payments. He's denying it, of course. So is Tom Izzo, Spartan's head coach. And for what it's worth, Michigan State Compliance Department said he was totally eligible and cleared, and he played yesterday. So we're going to break all that down coming up next hour. But right now, 866-240-1065. Those will be the numbers to join us. Could take some more phone calls here in this hour, in this remaining hour. And then before we're done at 5 o'clock, I got more tickets to give away of the hockey variety. Not Walleye this time, but they'll be Bowling Green. Their playoffs, the first round of the WCHA, all the games at here at Bowling Green will be this Friday, Saturday, and a Game 3 Sunday if necessary. So listen for your cue to call before 5 o'clock today. I'll give you chances to go to Game 1 on Friday. Ferris State will be the opponent in the WCHA playoffs for Bowling Green hockey, a 20-win season, by the by, for the Falcons on the ice. 866-240-1065. Spent a lot of time, obviously, on that whole scandal thing, and we'll continue again to do so, especially from the Michigan State angle with Kyle Austin next hour. So I wanted to shift to a little bit of the NBA right now. Usually, even if we don't talk about them at all, Usually, if somebody from the area played the night before, like Cavs or Pistons or what have you, I usually try to include that in some of the montage. Yet today, the only thing from Stan Van Gundy you heard in the montage was his thoughts when he was asked about it, about the NCAA and this scandal, and ripping the NCAA as an organization overall. And that's because I bet even he doesn't want to think about what happened in Charlotte yesterday to the Hornets. Pistons have now lost 5 of 6, and most of the losses have not been anywhere near good ones. Either they're getting blown out, or they're losing to teams that are at the bottom of the standings like Atlanta. Their one win was against Atlanta last week. They've lost every other game, starting with Friday, February 9th. So that's a couple weeks ago now. And an All-Star break in between. And that was, of course, Blake Griffin's first and only meeting this season against his old team at the Palace. It's been basically downhill since tip-off of that game. So downhill that the Pistons, as of right now, are 3 games under .500, 2.5 out of the final playoff spot. In a conference in the East, which, despite you see Miami 2 games over .500, then there's suddenly a gap. Sixers through the Wizards, 4 through 7 are separated by just two, three, where the Cavs are, I should say, through seven, are only separated by 2.5 games. Cavs are only 2.5 games out of where the Sixers are. So the Pistons, falling on their faces at absolutely the wrong time, because my point is, even though Miami's only a couple games over 500, the Pistons are in a situation where I think the East is more or less starting to solidify themselves. I've already pointed out how I think everybody below the Pistons in the East standings, including the Hornets who beat them up yesterday, are not going anywhere. And that in the East, there's 9 teams for 8 spots. I mean, that's the way I'm seeing it, basically. So, yeah, I look at all of this. And Stan Van Gundy's biggest complaint yesterday on the floor was the energy, or lack thereof, as they got blown out by the Hornets. And you wonder, is Reggie Jackson coming back going to do enough for this? Are they going to be able to squeak out that playoff spot at least? Because they better. Bob and I disagree on this one. But I believe that even if they don't make the playoffs, the rest of the front office and ownership, whether we think it's the right call or not, is going to let Stan Van Gundy finish out his contract, i.e. continue on the job through the end of next season, on the grounds that, well, making that move for a Blake Griffin is a franchise-altering move. So even if you don't make the playoffs this year, we got to give you at least a full season before we decide to keep you or let you go or even downgrade your position to maybe just head coach. If they don't make the playoffs, there's got to be a lot of calls that that's the wrong decision. But I'm just telling you what my gut tells me. My gut tells me that the minute they hung up the phones with that agreed Blake Griffin trade, Stan Van Gundy had bought himself at least next season. I do not see the Pistons and Tom Gores and them firing Stan Van, even if they don't make the playoffs, which suddenly is a lot more likely than making the playoffs, because I think everybody is solidifying themselves in the East. In fact, just looking at the standings right now, the Sixers and Bucks have played a little bit better recently, and so the gap between the two of them and the Pistons as of this moment is 4.5 games. Sorry, 4.5 games. It's going to be tough. Yes, I know the calendar still says February, but that's going to be real tough. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in their 3 games after the All-Star break, a win at Memphis, 2 home losses, and you would think I would want to be on them a little more. LeBron spent pretty much his entire post-game presser. You heard some of that in the montage earlier, more or less complaining about the officiating. Shocker there, right? When's LeBron not complaining about the or officiating? But I look at what's gone on in the 2 losses. since the All-Star break. One of them yesterday, of course, at home against the Spurs, and then the other one being last Thursday, this past Thursday, first game back from the break at home against Washington. The honeymoon phase is already now over, and good thing. And defense is, of course, going to still be an issue. Players getting acclimated is still going to be an issue. It was nice those first two road games before the break, winning at Boston and at Oklahoma City, made everybody feel good. But losing two out of three since the break is your reality check that this is still going to take a little bit because you basically have a whole new roster now. But the common theme in both games is going to be something that will permeate and will continue to be a part of this Cavs team, no matter who's on the roster. Their defense is bad. So if their shooting is off, they lose. Because I simply will not have enough offense to keep up with their defense that can't stop anybody ever. And that's what we saw, I think, in those two losses. Here's what I mean by that. In the game against Washington, the Cavs shot actually 50% from the field somehow. But they couldn't do squat to Washington, got out-rebounded by them, and 29-20 on the assist category. Yesterday against the Spurs, 8 of 34, 23% from downtown, 41% for the game. More the Spurs than the Wizards game. That's what happens and will continue to happen when the Cavs just simply aren't making shots. I mean, at this point, if you're a Cavs fan and you're waiting for them to still play good defense, stop torturing yourself because they're not. The way this Cavs team is constructed, and this will remain until the last day of their season, whether that be a playoff loss, finals loss, or championship, I'm still doubting the third one. Their defense is going to be atrocious. So really, to win games, they're going to have to outscore their opponents. It means, yes, if you haven't accepted it yet, Cavs fans, just try to start accepting it. You'll feel better and sleep better at night. This is a early 1980s high-scoring slash ABA kind of team. Some of you not-so-young ones will definitely know what I mean when I reference the latter. Up and down, tons of points, defense semi-optional. That's what this Cavs team is. And if you're a Cavs team, the sooner you just accept that, trust me, the better you will sleep at night. Because you know their defense is going to be bad, and there's no use worrying about it anymore. It's going to stay bad. There's no getting around that. So when the shots aren't falling, and they really weren't on Sunday, they're going to lose. And LeBron can whine to the officials all he wants. Curious to see, by the way, if he gets fined for that. Other players and coaches have been fined for less when it comes to the officials. So I'll be curious to see if he gets fined for that. He probably should. But that is what it is. And now, here we are again. The Cavs are only a half game ahead of Washington in the third spot is Cleveland. Half game ahead of Washington, game ahead of the Pacers, two games ahead of the Bucks, two and a half ahead of the Sixers. And six games behind where Boston is, six and a half behind Toronto. I said back the other day, before the weekend, another thing I'm almost positive about this Cavs is they dug their really bad play from basically Christmas until the trades. So that spans, what, a month and a half? But they dug themselves too much of a hole, and they're not catching both Boston and Toronto. They will never say it out loud because they would have to think they can rise higher than that. But the fact of the matter is the Cavs' goal for the remainder of the regular season is twofold. One, get Kevin Love back healthy and integrated back into the system with the new guys. While 1A, having the new guys get more and more used to being on this team, etc. And number two, while you're doing all that, just somehow hold on to the third spot. That's about the best Cavs can do, I think, regular season-wise. And these couple of games this past week, even though they beat Memphis and at the end of the day beat them up pretty good, Memphis is just bad this year. We all know that. I mean, what are they right now? They're 18-40. So they're just bad. and you should be losing them in any form. But the other two games, especially yesterday's against the Spurs, that is what it is, folks. That's what happens when the Cavs don't shoot well. And yeah, there's still a lot of new pieces they're still trying to acclimate to this whole thing. It's going to take them a few more games to really start understanding, I think, and getting used to their roles. But it doesn't matter who's on the roster. The defense stinks, and so if they're not hitting shots, they're going to lose. It's really that simple when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers this season. 866-240-1065. A few more minutes to take some phone calls. One other piece of news, and you heard me play some of it in the montage. And that was Tiger Woods. He did, for what it's worth, have a stronger finish at the Honda Classic over the weekend. Even par 70 yesterday. And he made it through the whole four rounds. You know, didn't get cut or anything. 70, 71, 69, 70. 12th place finish. That's Tiger Woods' best finish at a golf tournament since the Wyndham Championship when he finished tied for 10th in 2015. We all know the story. We all know the deal. We all know the questions. We've asked him every time something like this comes up. Tiger himself said that every round that he plays, he feels better. But a lot of golf people right today are gushing or attempting to gush over what Tiger Woods did on the grounds that, hey, watch out. He's going to be challenging for things again. I think this is the beginning of Tiger's back. I feel like I've had that story happen 5 times in the last 8 years. So I'm not ready to fully buy into that. Let me see a couple more tournaments. See if he can finish in the top 10 or even win any of them. Then we'll talk about how back he really is and maybe reopen the conversation on the majors. Too much time has been lost. He's not catching Jack anymore. Man, this seemed like a sure thing a decade ago, right, guys? It's just not going to happen anymore. Too much time has been wasted with all of this stuff. But the fact that he had a competent tournament means if you're a golf fan wanting excitement and you're a Tiger Woods fan, then what we saw over the weekend at the Honda Classic was encouraging. Do I think he's ready to climb up the leaderboards at Augusta in about 2 months? No. But he may be poised to have his best stretch of golf in nearly a decade. Because that's how almost 8 to 10 years, right? That's how long all this nonsense and injuries and other things have been going on. It's cost him nearly a decade. That's why he's not catching Jack anymore. But it'd be great for golf, as we've said time and again, if Tiger Woods can be competent and the type of player that can be out there making a difference on the golf course. All right, we got to take a quick time out here on this Monday edition of the Extravaganza. I'm in for Bob France. They are still under the weather, still on the broadcaster's disabled list. Mike Miller will be coming at you at 5 o'clock for Drive Time. Kyle Austin, Paul Keel is talking a lot of college basketball / the scandals coming up next hour. And as we head into this top of the hour, I said I had some more tickets for you. I got them right now. Callers 4 and 5 to 866-240-1065. Callers 4 and 5. To 866-240-1065. I will hook you up. Bowling Green hockey playoff tickets. WCHA first round is Friday, Saturday, Sunday here at Bowling Green. They're at their home, are the Falcons, for this one. Ferris State is the opponent in what amounts to a best of three series. So I got two pair of tickets right now to callers 4 and 5 at 866-240-1065 to game one of that series Friday night down in BG, 7 o'clock faceoff time. See playoff hockey, Bowling Green, and Ferris State to callers number 4 and 5. Timeout, top of the hour, and then Kyle Austin, MLive.com. We're going to really dive into how all this scandal is affecting Michigan State specifically. Their name got brought up, and so did some players. We'll talk with Kyle Austin of MLive.com coming up after this on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
I don't think it's going to be a widespread decimation of rosters and head coaches. I do not think that. I think it will happen more slowly if there are other things involved. You might have gotten a little bit of a hint from the initial reports in the Yahoo Sports story. I think that's pretty instructive as to what we might see when the tournament starts. The amateurism rules aren't really real, sort of a made-up thing over workman's comp and all of that kind of stuff. And if we just sort of acknowledge that and then let this function as we would let other big business function, or that we would let other students at universities who have special talents function, that maybe we'd be better off.
Isn't it amazing that the basketball players whose names were mentioned played this weekend and were cleared by their own compliance at their schools in the blink of an eye? Isn't it amazing how quickly that all happened? And for Michigan State, isn't it amazing and or disgusting the fact of how quickly compliance cleared guys to play, and you're still dealing with sexual assault going on that campus and have been looked at for years and years and years, and we don't have answers there?
The NCAA is one of the worst organizations, maybe the worst organization in sports. They certainly don't care about the athletes, and they're going to act now like they're just appalled by all these things going on in college basketball. Please, it's ridiculous. And then it's all coming down on coaches who they're laying the game as it's been laid out for them, and they all know what it is, and they have choices to make too. I would say coaches aren't blameless, but I think it starts higher than that.
Well, Miles was sad because he knew nothing about it. I mean, if you read the situation that happened back when he was in high school, you know, he just was bummed out, but he handled it like a man. He handled it better than I did. You know, guys, I'll answer a question or two, but I just had a chance to win a championship, and I'm not going to answer many questions. I was not involved in this thing at all. This was our compliance people in the NCAA, and I thought they ruled quickly. Miles Bridges.
I do love, though, that March Madness, if I do tell you right now, vacated title. Everyone's playing for a vacated title. All the coaches are fired. You're still watched the same way. That is the power of your sport. That's the scam Mark Emmert's running.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Back we are, hour number two of this Monday edition of the Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin in for Bob here on this Monday. He still kind of sounds real bad. Actually worse than this. So I had to keep him on the broadcaster's disabled list for hopefully one more day. And then he'll be back with us. Lots to unpack. And we've been unpacking, or attempting to unpack it, if you will, since Friday, when the Yahoo story about the FBI investigation and all the other things involving apparently numerous college basketball programs, paying players and all sorts of other stuff, even Michigan State being named, and one of their current players being named in the whole thing. Now, it did stop the Spartans from winning their first regular season outright Big Ten title since 2009, of course, the Big Ten tournament coming up this week, but it's broad in the whole NCAA scope. But it's also very specific to one of our teams in the sort of backyard here, the Michigan State Spartans. And I wanted to dive in a little bit more of specifically what the allegations are against for Michigan State in this, and get a little Big Ten tournament preview, because there's still things on the court to be done. And to help us break all these things down, we had him on the program a couple weeks back, almost a month ago, when part of what's going on with Michigan State referenced in one of those clips in the montage you just heard by Mike Golick of Golick and Wingo this morning. And he talked about that with us. Now back to talk to us about this and get a little Big Ten tight championship and tournament preview. We once again welcome in from MLive.com, Michigan State beat Kyle Austin, back on the program with us. Good Monday afternoon, Kyle. How you doing today?
Good Monday. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, it's I would love to have been able to call upon you, not just today, but a month ago, on things solely on the basketball court. And we'll get to some of that. But unfortunately, we can't, in a way, because of all of this that's going down. Now, we've all been, as I mentioned, Kyle, unpacking this a little bit since Friday. Tons of schools named, tons of coaches, tons of players, some of which are active players currently playing right now for this team, for their teams, and one of them involves Michigan State, and that's where I want to go first on this. First, for those who are having trouble understanding, what exactly is the accusation being thrown at Michigan State's Miles Bridges?
Well, the accusation is essentially that his mother took $400 from a runner for an agent, an employee of a sports agent, back in 2016. And that would violate NCAA rules for extra benefits. And even if Miles Bridges didn't personally take the money, if he didn't have any knowledge of it, that's still against the rules. Rules are pretty clear that your family can't do that either. So that's the allegation, and it's based on a document obtained by the FBI and reported on by Yahoo, which is essentially an expense account or an expense report filed from by that runner, Christian Dawkins, basically saying that on, May whatever, 2016, I gave $400 to Cynthia Bridges. As an advance, that's what it was described. So that was the allegation that came out on Friday.
And the obvious follow-up that I would have on that, because, again, we're all still trying to unpack this because there's so much, because it's not just one school in this investigation's case, it's a whole bunch. Is this currently the only, at least formally known, issue that's being involved with Michigan State that has been named in this report, or are there others?
No, that's the only one known at this point. There were some other things involving Michigan State in report. Tom Izzo's name also came up, as having had dinner with, this runner, Christian Dawkins, but that's not against the rules. Tom Izzo's allowed under NCAA rules to talk to him, have dinner with him, so that's fine. And there was also an accusation against a Michigan State, associate coach, Dwayne Stevens, that basically said that this runner, Christian Dawkins, tried to broker some sort of agreement to send a recruit to Michigan State, Brian Bowen, in exchange for some Michigan State former players joining this agency. So it's kind of complicated, but in a sense, that's essentially not an NCAA violation as well. So there's some other Michigan State references in there, but as far as alleging, wrongdoing, alleging an NCAA violation, the Bridges one was the only one.
We're talking with Kyle Austin. He writes about Michigan State for MLive.com. So happy to have him back on the program with us here on this Monday as we're still trying to unpack all of these things that came out in that ongoing FBI investigation, of which a whole bunch was released back on Friday via Yahoo News and then others naming whole bunch of schools. It's not just Michigan State. A lot of blue bloods in there, too. Duke, among others, being mentioned. One issue that came up, though, over the weekend, though, and you heard Mike Golic reference it just now in that montage, and it wasn't just Miles Bridges, it was other schools with other current players. Their various compliance departments have all ruled them okay to still play. Wisconsin fans were not too happy about that for that regular season finale yesterday. What do you make of the compliance department for Michigan State saying, Miles Bridges, he's okay to play, on Sunday? Was that do you think that was the correct decision, or is this just too low level, or is there just not enough information here, and that's why they allowed him to still play despite his name being named in this report?
Well, it's not surprising because, this accusation comes from an expense report filled out by somebody, and he would not be the first person to ever falsify an expense report if that's the case. He's basically saying that I spent this money and I did this with it, but there's no proof, there's no receipts, there's no record of a transaction, there's no that we've seen, at least there's no record of a deposit into the bank account of a Bridges family member or something like that. So it's, as far as proof goes, it's pretty thin. And there's really nothing to corroborate it. So I think Michigan State, they performed an investigation. They looked into it. They talked to Miles Bridges. They talked to his mom. They basically, according to Tom Izzo, came to the conclusion that this allegation is not true. Obviously they couldn't find any more evidence. They looked for it. They sent that along to the NCAA. The NCAA accepted that. So, it's not like some more serious ones. You talk about Arizona's coach being caught on a wiretap,
right?
Talking about stuff. That's a little bit more serious and a little bit more hard. But I think basically it came down to this is a little bit of evidence, but it's not enough to really say definitively that it happened. I think that's how they're able to kind of make that determination.
And because of that determination that we seem to have, at least as of this moment, at least on the Miles Bridges Michigan State case, As far as this investigation is concerned, do you think Michigan State is okay at this point? Or is something might down the line come out from the NCAA on Michigan State just because of the scope when you zoom out past East Lansing to see how many other tentacles are in all sorts of other schools with middlemen like this Christian Dawkins, you know, and others? In other words, Kyle Austin, is Michigan State going to be looking okay for this part of the investigation?
Well, for this specific accusation, this, you know, $400 to Miles Bridges' family, it sounds like the book is closed on this, and that, you know, the NCAA has accepted this investigation from Michigan State, and, you know, nobody seems to be able to say for sure, but it sounds like there won't be anything more on this. But, you know, talking big picture, as you say, this is still a very, very wide-ranging investigation. We certainly didn't see everything that's part of that investigation come out over the weekend. And, I don't think anybody can say definitively now that this is the end for Michigan State or any other school. I don't think anybody else knows what's in everything that the FBI collected. So I think they're, you know, they're good for now. But something else coming down the road, I mean, I think everybody's going to have to kind of stay vigilant on this stuff because you don't know what else is coming.
Yeah, so true on that last part, Kyle. We're talking with Kyle Austin. He's the Michigan State writer for MLive.com. And for those who can't keep it straight, as of this moment, here are all the schools in addition to Michigan State that were named in this investigation that's still ongoing. Alabama, Duke, Kentucky, LSU, Maryland, NC State, North Carolina, Texas, USC, Washington, Seton Hall, number of classic blue bloods, some of which we always thought were squeaky clean, like maybe Coach K down there at Duke, all of them getting named in this. So in that zoomed out sense, Kyle, even if Michigan State is possibly too probably safe from anything further, given that the Miles Bridges thing is the only thing that, as of right now, that got brought up. But when you zoom out and hear just that name of schools listed, there's got to be more, not just more to it, and I'm sure as time goes on, we'll all learn more about this, but it also tells me, and then you reference things like the Sean Miller, the wiretap thing out there in Arizona, which I agree is much, much more egregious than the allegation laid against Michigan State and Bridges. But from that zoomed out point of view, all those types of schools, some we always thought might have issues and some we always thought were squeaky clean, they're all mentioned, it seems, in here. How is this going to affect college basketball as we go forward? There's even been some that, the way I've been hearing it, it's joking but serious at the same time when they're saying it, that this might affect things in this upcoming tournament for a lot of teams. How do you see this going as this whole thing goes forward? Just again, because so many different schools and so many different categories are named in this.
Oh, I think there's going to be a ton of wide-ranging effects. I mean, you talk about the tournament. First of all, you know, I don't know if there's going to be anything else that's going to lead another star player to go out or another coach to go out. But the fact is that when things are found out, you can be ineligible retroactive. So if we find out something else in the next coming months from whatever team wins the NCAA tournament, that banner could come down and that could be vacated, just like Louisville's was vacated a week or so ago. So, the number of schools and the number of blue bloods, as you mentioned, that are involved, it does make you wonder that whoever wins this, is this banner going to stay up? Because even squeaky clean programs, like you said, get involved in, you know, so much of it has to do with, you know, stuff outside the program. You know, what happened with Michigan State, I guess in Tom Izzo and their program's defense, you know, they didn't know anything about that. They didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, your program can be guilty of NCAA violations, and it can have nothing to do with your coach. It can be, you know, a family member of a player doing a deal, you know, completely outside of you. So there's so many different ways this can happen, and it's so wide-ranging, like you said, that you can't even imagine kind of the number of different, you know, ways this thing could go going forward.
And, you know, being that it's so wide-ranging, you know, as I've been trying to think about this, at least since Friday, when a lot of this was first really breaking, although there have been indications of it, but we didn't get the massive kind of document dump, if you will, that we got on Friday for this. I look at this and think, I'm not really surprised. If anything, we're kind of being made public. Something that we all, I think, Kyle, deep down knew existed and knew it's how it really worked. But all this time we've been trying to pretend that it's only that one bad apple over here or maybe a shady Calipari over there. But in a way, as bad as some of these things sound, I got to believe that this is more or less how it's been going, especially in big-time college basketball and, of course, football for that matter, too, for seemingly ever. Is that kind of what we're seeing here? Something that's been going on that we all tried to pretend wasn't necessarily going on, and we're all just being, you know, educated that, yes, in fact, it's been going on. It's been as shady as you think it is. Basically what I'm saying is, are we finally just learning and having to accept that this is how the proverbial sausage is made?
Yeah, I think so. And there have been indications of that over the years, certainly in isolated cases. But, you know, people that are involved in this have always been, you know, willing to say, listen, this stuff is widespread. But, you know, nobody's really ever been willing or able to kind of blow the whistle on this level before. I mean, the NCAA, you know, is limited in what it can do as far as investigating and levying punishments. I think we've seen that pretty clear. You know, certainly people involved in these deals have, you know, no inclination to blow the whistle on it. So, yes, people have said, you know, this is widespread. This is how it operates. This is pervasive. But we haven't really seen it, you know, laid out. And some of the stuff we saw, you know, if you read the emails from Christian Dawkins that were published over the weekend, I mean, this is a daily thing for these people doing this sort of corruption and these sorts of violations. And, it took the FBI to get involved. You know, it took people that can wiretap phones and people that can get bank records and subpoena things.
Yep.
That's what it took because, you know, the NCAA was never going to be able to uncover this stuff. It took the FBI to do it. So, I don't think this is new. I don't think this certainly didn't start in the last couple of years. This is just kind of a look into a world that's always been there.
We're talking with Kyle Austin, Michigan State writer for MLive.com, joining us here on the Extravaganza on this Monday. Jim Cushlin in for Bob France, still on the broadcaster's disabled list. We're hoping to activate him coming up tomorrow. Going to give you the floor on this one for a moment or two, because the logical follow-up that a lot of us have that I've been trying to sort out, and I'm at big conflict within my own beliefs now and how to handle this, is going forward, if you're the NCAA, if you're college basketball, even to a degree college football, because we know this kind of stuff, probably much bigger in scope, has been going on there too, and we've heard all the stories, you know, over time. What would Kyle Austin's recommendations to fixing this type of problem? Because the one thing that's been demonstrated to me, Kyle, through all these kind of things, I've been saying it for a while now and started saying this again Friday, that every 6 months, it seems, you read a story about something like this. This just involving more than one school or one coach, but it seems not 6 months go by, and I'm reading about something almost identical to this. So if it was up to Kyle Austin, if you were the college sports commissioner, as if you will, Kyle, what would you do to try to prevent these types of things? There's even talk from various people now saying NCAA has to get rid of this whole amateurism concept, and I've heard the paying the players come back, you know, into vogue. All I know is that current disciplinary actions to stop these things ain't working. So what would Kyle Austin, what would his recommendations be to try to fix this whole thing?
Well, you know, I look at what the Olympics is doing now is something that kind of makes a lot of sense. You know, Olympians are, you know, they're allowed to basically, you know, accept money from, you know, if a company wants to give them money, sponsor them, they're allowed to accept that. And they're basically allowed to profit off of their likeness, but they're not really receiving, you know, a salary from the USOC, so to speak, some large salary. And I think a model like that would work in college athletics. I mean, I think any time you're trying to take a player or a person that has a huge market value, and these college basketball players, the big name ones, you know, are worth millions, and you try to restrict that, I think you're just naturally going to create a black market, and I don't think you're ever going to get rid of some of the stuff that's going on, because these kids stand to make a lot of money, and frankly, in some cases, it's hard to blame them or their families for trying to take advantage of some of that. So, to me, my solution would say, you know, open some of this up. If, you know, if Nike wants to give somebody, you know, $100,000, let them. I don't really see how that has a negative effect on them. If an agent or a booster wants to give somebody money, I say let them. And maybe that's, you know, that means that, you know, your top guys are going to get more, you know, a lot of money on the team, and your, you know, your bench warmers probably aren't going to get anything. But, you know, I think that's the only way to really, to get this sort of stuff out of the dark and bring it into the light. Because I don't think trying to change how you police it or mm-hmm. make tougher sanctions or anything like that, I don't think anything's going to work. Because I don't think this is ever going to go away. This black market, the sort of things that we found out. I don't think that sort of thing is ever going to go away as long as the system is where it is and you're taking people that are worth millions and asking them to make zero. I think that just naturally creates a black market. So I say open it up, and I think the Olympic system makes a lot of sense to me.
I kind of agree with some of that. I really do, because I've been, you know, for me, Kyle, I've been struggling with this, you know, ever since all this. How do you fix it? Because, again, clearly right now, whatever disciplinary actions, you're taking a banners down and probations, and that's not working. Messages aren't, you know, getting across. And for some of the things you just said, which I don't mind, those are interesting ideas. I feel all things need to be on the table, you know, for this one. And for anybody who's going to say, oh, well, Kyle's reason, that's right, because, you know, the Bowling Greens and Toledos of the world would be at a disadvantage. All right, like they're not at a disadvantage compared to the big boys, you know, already. We're talking with Kyle Austin of MLive.com. And due to all this, it's been preventing us until now from talking about things that actually happened on the court. So let's do that real quick. Michigan State, they get the win yesterday against Wisconsin to finish off the regular season 16-2, 28-3, their first outright Big Ten title, regular season-wise, for the Spartans since 2009. I didn't realize it'd been that long. They get the number one seed coming up in the Big Ten tournament, which, of course, starts this week. Bye to the quarterfinals. Sparty will play Thursday afternoon against the Iowa-Illinois winner. We'll have that game, by the way, courtesy of Compass Media Networks over on Talk Radio 100.7 when we get you some of this Big Ten tournament action later on this week. First, before we get into that, your thoughts on the Big Ten tournament being early. We all know why it's being early, because they're using the same site that the Big East always uses, the Garden in New York, so they had to bump it up a week early. Do you like that, and do you think that's going to affect the players? Because no matter what happens, Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan, the four likelies to be in the NCAA tournament, they're all going to be off for an entire week plus before the tournament kicks in. You like having it this early?
No, I don't. And it's not even because I think that it'll have a big negative effect. I mean, different conferences have the week off. I'm not sure that there's any evidence really that it's negative. And frankly, these teams have been through a long season, and a week off could go the opposite way. It could help them be more refreshed, could give them some more practice time to work on some things. But, you know, I don't like it because, you know, it really screwed with and kind of condensed the conference schedule to me. Games in the Big Ten this year seemed so close together. Teams seemed like they were playing every other night for a while. They had those games in December, which was kind of funky. And I just didn't like what it did to the conference schedule. And to do all that just to get into Madison Square Garden, that didn't seem worth it to me, you know. Madison Square Garden is great. If you can get there, great. But to screw with your whole conference schedule, the coaches all didn't like it. The players didn't like it. To do all that just to get into the Garden, I thought was too high of a price to pay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. They did mess with a lot of things, and you're absolutely right. Players, coaches, I've heard that all throughout the season that, yeah, it'll be cool to play in the Garden until later, but the things we had to do to make that possible, yeah,
right.
Not big fans of it. Break down this tournament, handicap it for me. Like I said, Michigan State, they're going to get the double bye to the quarterfinal round. They'll get the, Maryland and Wisconsin winner. They're the number one spot. Ohio State gets the two, Purdue the three. Handicap this a tournament for me. How likely is it that Sparty can add a conference tournament championship to their regular season championship?
Well, I mean, they're going to go in as the favorite, and they've won two of these things in the last 5 years. I mean, I think there was a time in Tommy's career where they had kind of underachieved in this event, and fans said, or people, you know, wondered kind of how seriously they took it, because we certainly this isn't as big a deal to them, actually, as the NCAA tournament or the Big Ten regular season. But, you know, the last 5 years, they've had a good showing there. So I think between that and them being the number one seed, I think they're certainly the favorite. I certainly expect them to advance pretty easily through that quarterfinal. But then you're looking at potentially Michigan on Saturday, which is interesting, because we know, obviously, the last time that happened, Michigan's a tough matchup for them. Mo Wagner was very tough for them. So that could be tough. And then Looking at either Purdue, Ohio State on Sunday. You know, Michigan State obviously lost by 16 to Ohio State, and Purdue gave them all they had. So it's not going to be easy. I mean, they're certainly, I mean, they've won 12 in a row, but I wouldn't call them a runaway favorite by any means. They're going to have a tough Saturday and a tough Sunday game if they get to it. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them lose any of them. So I think, you know, the Big Ten's not deep this year, but it's top three. Certainly very strong. Michigan's right up there. I think they'd have a chance. And, you know, even Nebraska, you know, for having 13 conference wins, they need to win to get in the NCAA tournament. So even to see them knock off Michigan on Friday in those quarterfinals, that wouldn't even shock me because they're a team. They need wins more than anybody else in the tournament. So it'll be interesting. It's not super deep. I don't see some 10 seed making a huge run like we've seen in the past, but I think between those top four or five teams, things are pretty open.
It is the Big Ten tournament coming up later this week. Michigan State will get their action as the regular season champ, number one seed. They will start on Friday afternoon in the quarterfinals. They'll get the Maryland-Wisconsin winner in that game on Friday afternoon. Kyle Austin of MLive.com, thank you so much for the time today, helping us break down the specifics as they relate to Michigan State on that whole broad investigation for college basketball, and hopefully when we reconvene, we won't have to talk about any of that. We could just focus on things that are actually on the court, like the upcoming tournament. Hopefully we can catch up with you then, Kyle.
Okay, sounds good.
That is Kyle Austin, MLive.com, Michigan State writer, joining us here on the Extravaganza. So glad he was able to squeeze us in. And yeah, that's what this whole investigation is doing. You know, Michigan State, you even heard it, Tom Izzo, top of the hour in the montage I played. He wants to talk about the fact that for the first time in 9 years, Sparty outright wins a Big Ten regular season title. But just like this interview spot just now with Kyle Austin, we have to table that towards the end because we got to unpack all of this stuff that's going on in all of the NCAA and college basketball with this massive investigation. I'm not sure, again, how things are going to come down, but it's obviously going to be, you know, something to watch going forward just with the number of schools that are involved. It was good to hear him say that. In Michigan State's case, the one thing they were specifically outed for was the whole Miles Bridges thing. And if that's done and over with, because he's eligible, for what it's worth, the compliance committee and the NCAA authorized it as a go, and that's why he was able to play in that game against Wisconsin yesterday and remain eligible. That seems like that's the end for Michigan State's involvement, but there's two things still hanging. One, this whole investigation's not over. Who knows what else might get turned up? And two, there's still the whole ramifications of the fallout of the Larry Nassar situation up there. Even though that was coming up on a month ago now when that happened, the ripple effects are still being felt up there, as we know, in East Lansing. I mean, the university president and the AD all out as a result of all that. So the book not totally closed on issues and discipline that might befall Michigan State, but it does seem like this FBI corruption in the game issue might not be involving Sparty that much longer. We're going to stick with some college basketball things on the other side of this quick timeout coming up here on a Monday edition of the Extravaganza. Jim Kuslin in for Bob Francis on the broadcaster's DL for hopefully one more day. Mike Miller coming at you next on Drive Time, but we're going to stick with not just college basketball, but the Big Ten. Voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels will join us next. Buckeyes are going to get the 2 seed in that upcoming Big Ten tournament. They will also play Friday, but Friday evening they get the Penn State Northwestern winner. We're going to break it all down with Paul right after we return for this quick timeout here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
The Ticket.
Back we are, final segment here of this Monday edition of the Extravaganza here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Kuslin in for Bob Brantz. Still on the broadcaster's DL right now. With that very, very bad-sounding voice and throat, we can't put him on the air because that's part of our job, is to sound good. And trust me, folks, he does not sound good at all. Hopefully he is recovered enough to sit back in the big chair for a Tuesday edition, but I've been happy to fill in for him today. We talked a lot of the college basketball and the scandal stuff. Thanks so much again to Kyle Austin of MLive.com to help break down the whole Michigan State and Miles Bridges coming up in in that investigation and ongoing investigation by the FBI. Eventually, we got around to actual things on the basketball court, and that's what I intend to do in this segment as well. It's after 4:44:45 on a Monday, and that means we once again welcome in the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Mr. Paul Keels, back in the program with us. Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing pretty good, So are the Buckeyes this past week after losing to Penn State and Michigan the week before. They get a big win on senior night against Rutgers during the week. And then on Friday night, a crazy back-and-forth double overtime game against an Indiana team that's struggled at times this year, only 16-14. But for the Buckeyes, the win gets them that two seed in this Big Ten tournament coming up later this week. We'll break that down here in just a little bit, but walk me through this one. It sure wasn't easy to get the season sweep of the Hoosiers.
No, it wasn't, and I think everybody expected Indiana would be a different team than the one they beat in Columbus. If you remember, Jim, Indiana came in on a one-day turnaround for that game, but Ohio State got up to a 12-point lead in the first half, and you really liked the way things were going, but then they started to have some foul concerns. You could see Indiana get a little bit of a momentum swing late in the first half, then all back and forth in the second half. It still was amazing that Ohio State didn't have any more difficulty because of the fouls than they did. But, I think it was a sign of this team growing up. They give up a double-digit lead. They give the lead away a few different times. The game stays tied. They have some things go against them, but they stay focused, and they're able to make the plays that they made. Indiana gets their last score, and Ohio State's got 7 seconds or 6 seconds without a timeout. And C.J. Jackson comes down and hits a cold-blooded three when it looked like he was trying to pass the ball. So, big win for them and really carrying some good momentum going into the conference tournament.
And that last part is the key because, I think we were starting to think, I guess a little stretch like this, meaning the week before with Penn State and Michigan, was inevitable. Out of this team, they had been playing, so well for so long. But then you get Rutgers on senior night in Columbus. That usually, except for the Buckeyes last year in the Big Ten tournament, usually is the kind of thing that helps you turn skids back around, and then to again play the way they did, even though, as you mentioned, giving up some lead a couple times. I like the balance in the starting lineup. The bench was almost a non-factor. Micah Potter the only one getting some points off the bench, but first and foremost, how much more can one say about the senior Cade Bates Diop? To me, he is blatantly in the running, and I hope is highly considered for a player of the year. The senior, 24 points, 14 rebounds, also 4 blocks, 4 assists. He's averaging 19-9 this season, Paul. I certainly, first of all, didn't expect that from him, and I know we've sung his praises a bunch over the course of this season, but he deserves it. I really believe he deserves to be in player of the year discussion in college basketball.
Well, I agree with you, and they're going to announce the Big Ten postseason awards here within the next half hour, and I certainly expect him to be named the Big Ten Player of the Year, at least, excluding bias. That's how I voted on my ballot. And we knew he would be a big contributor to this team, but coming off an injury, you just never know for sure, and it was very impressive, especially given the fact that he's been somewhat mortal in the last week or so going into the Indiana game. Certainly Penn State and Michigan made it tough on him from a physical standpoint. Even in the win against Rutgers, he didn't play like we had seen him play all year. It was a little concerning early in the Indiana game when he's, starting to have a little bit of shakiness at the foul line. But this young man really had a big game. You mentioned the block shots and the assist. That was a big part of it too, Jim. And, I think that Ohio State certainly, thanks to what everybody else has done, but they wouldn't be in this position without Cade having this kind of a year. And I don't know that he probably won't win National Player of the Year. But I agree with you. He should get some serious consideration for it.
We're talking with Paul Keels, the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes here on the Extravaganza. So they close out with a couple of wins last week, get the number 2 seed, in this upcoming Big Ten tournament. We'll get to the tournament itself, in just a moment. I know there's still plenty more to go. You got the Big Ten tournament, and then the NCAA tournament will be after that. But right now is as good a time as any, I think, to look back on this season that we've all been watching so far, Paul, because, again, I've said it to you and I've said it many times on these airwaves for this season. Given where the program was, moving on from Thad Matta, bringing Chris Holtmann in, I would have tipped my cap to the Buckeyes this year if they had just been good enough for an NIT bid. They're clearly, above that. They're going to the NCAA tournament. A 2 seed means they're in very good position to possibly win a Big Ten tournament. From your perspective, having seen basically almost every second of almost every game, what an absolutely incredible turnaround so quickly, too. That's the thing that jumps out at me. They had some of the talent like Kata Bates-Diop, who's a senior, of course, this year. But your overall thoughts on this season, even though there are still two more steps to go, because, quite frankly, it's a season none of us expected.
Well, Jim, and we've talked about it on our Monday segments all season. I think there's a number of factors. First off, Kata Bates-Diop being healthy. His loss last year was a crushing blow to that basketball team. Him being healthy coming back, I think if you throw in the experience with what Jayshon Tate and what Cam Williams brought, C.J. Jackson's improvement is a big, big part of this as well. The Indiana folks put out a stat that, you know, Juwan Morgan offensively was the most improved player from last year to this year in the Big Ten, and C.J. Jackson was the second, not just because of the shot he made Friday night, but everything else that he's done. Caleb Wesson, as a freshman, being able to contribute at the center position the way he has, the things that Andre Wesson gives them that don't always show up in the stat sheet. So I think those are the on-the-floor things, and as we've talked about before, another big factor in this is there were some addition by subtraction. There were some deterrents in the locker room a season ago, and those have been removed. You know, that there were a couple of people who had eligibility to return that are not back. And it was a good thing that they're not back, because they dragged the ship down a little bit last year, if you listen to some of what some of the other players have said. You know, and then lastly, but certainly not least, you have to throw in what Chris Holtman and his assistants, Mike Schrage and Terry Johnson and Ryan Peden, have done. They've brought a breath of fresh air. And the other classy thing that Chris Holtman has done all season is the way he's credited Thad Mott and his staff for the development of the players that they inherited. I mean, think about this. Really, the only two Chris Holtman recruits on this roster this year are Kyle Young, who is originally going to go to Butler with this staff. And,
right.
You know, it's just one. Everybody else were Thad Mott recruits, including Caleb Wesson, who had signed during the early period last year. So that coaching staff deserves a great deal of credit for taking these players. Right, no, Andrew Dockett, that's the other one I was thinking about. And who would have thought you would have gotten what you've gotten from Andrew Dockett?
Yeah.
So I think you know, players improving, the addition of some key parts, Kata being healthy, the removal of bad attitudes, and the influx of this coaching staff has all been a big part of it.
Talk with Voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, as we do every Monday here on the Extravaganza. We got a couple more of these, obviously, to go, because two more steps to go for the Buckeyes, and step number one will begin Friday. They're the two seeds, so they get the double bye at the Garden for the Big Ten tournament. They will get on Friday evening the winner of the Penn State-Northwestern game. So break down a little bit of the Big Ten tournament for me, Paul. I don't like that they could very well be facing Penn State again, the one team that seems to have their number this year, but hard to complain about a double bye and a two seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Somebody jokingly Friday asked if they could default and drop to the third seed so they could avoid Penn State. But, you know, Penn State's got a major issue to deal with himself, Jim. Their starting center, Mike Watkins, got hurt in their next-to-last game. He did not play Sunday at Nebraska, and I do not know what his status is. So that's a considerable burden for them if Mike Watkins can't play, but they're a bad matchup for Ohio State, and Tony Carr has shown that. A 6'5", 6'6", point guard who's tough for guys like Andrew Dockett and C.J. Jackson to guard. And then you throw in Josh Reeves, who's known for his defense, but since coming back from a suspension has been outstanding offensively, and certainly Shep Garner is a three-point threat who has hurt Ohio State with the way he shot the basketball. So, you know, they're a bad matchup. They only played Northwestern once, and it was in Chicago. Northwestern zone gave Ohio State a bit of a problem, and Micah Potter had his best game as a Buckeye in that game. So it's new life for everybody. You know, Penn State is a team that's on a mission. They probably need to win a game or two to enhance their positioning for the NCAA tournament. Northwestern, you know, certainly they're just trying to play out the string and hope for a miracle. But, you know, for Ohio State, then, you know, if they're fortunate to win that game, then they're most likely looking, and here is the problem with being the number two seed, they would have to then play ideally both Purdue and then Michigan State. So if they were the number one seed, they'd only have to play one of them if things played out according to Hoyle. But, you know, the good thing for them is they've got a few days now to rest after the meat grinder of the schedule, and they get a chance to go play for since they couldn't win the regular season championship. Hopefully they'll be motivated to get the tournament championship.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's obviously going to be a tough draw for the Buckeyes, particularly if it is of Penn State in that quarterfinal game. And then you mentioned likely a Purdue and maybe likely a Michigan State, you know, after that. So if they were to bow out early, maybe say Friday, sake of argument, Friday is their only Big Ten tournament game and they fall in the quarterfinals, do you think that'll affect their seeding in the NCAA tournament upcoming after that? Even though there's a week off between, we all agree that the Buckeyes are a lock. It's just a matter of what seed. And does an early exit affect that for the NCAA?
No question, Jim. I think right now people are guesstimating them as a 4 or 5 seed. An early loss would affect that, maybe drop them to a number 6 seed. You know, getting all the way to the championship game maybe gets them to a 4 or 3 seed. And if they win the thing, you know, maybe a 3 seed. I can't realistically see them being any higher than 3. But, you know, and that week in between will be interesting. If things happen at other conferences that normally take one team, how could that affect them? But, you know, it'll all start Friday, and especially if it's Penn State, you know, that's going to make for some interesting moments.
Absolutely. It will all start Friday for the Buckeyes. A 6 o'clock coverage time. We'll have that game for you coming up on Friday. And as far as the Buckeyes go in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament after that, you'll hear the man we just talked to with all the call that. Paul Keels, thanks so much for the time on this Monday. We'll catch up on the other side of this Big Ten tournament next week.
Sounds good, Jim. Take care.
Paul Keels, voice of the Buckeyes, joining us. You hear the music. That's going to do it. We got to get on out of here. Hopefully, Bob will be off the broadcaster's disabled list for a Tuesday edition of the Extravaganza. But stick around. Mike Miller, Drive Time. He's coming at you next. Fun, fun show he's got lined up for you. And then we'll do it all again for a Tuesday edition. See you then.